loud whenever you get it. All right, man. We're digging in right now to some footage of Kobe Bufkin from Michigan. All right, dude. So what you got as far as his height, wingspan?
Bufkin.
Age. I think he just played his sophomore year.
I'm pulling that stuff up right now. Legit. Give me 2 seconds here.
I know nothing about any of this stuff. I know I've spoken out of turn over the last couple of days a few times about some stuff, about some players, and I've said some things that hasn't made everybody happy, and I get it, because I said some stuff that was just wrong. Straight up wrong. Should never compare anybody to Stanley Johnson ever again. It's an insult. But today, dude, listen. I earned
some people are just on crack, bro. I gotta say this, guys. Like, some people out there. No. I want to say this. Like, some people out there, when they call us idiots and morons and stuff like that, I'm totally cool with it. I really am, because, like, we're putting ourselves out there pretty much on fleek. But what I gotta say about that is, like, I'll never regret some of the shit I say. Ever. Some of the shit I say is just money. And if you think about it, 2 years ago, one of the best things that we said was Shea was going to be first team All-NBA, and people fucking laughed our asses off at us. They just laughed at us. They said there is 0% chance that he'll ever beat out Luka for that place. There's no way he'll beat Steph out. There's no way he'll beat any of these guys out. And guess what? All those fuckers that made fun of us, I hope they eat shit, man, because dude, that's bullshit, man. You got to stand up.
I love it, man. I think we got to just rock with it. And here we are with Kobe Bufkin. I'm impressed. What's up, El Sombra? Isis. I say it.
What's up, Carson?
I'm sorry, I hope I don't say that wrong.
El Sombra.
And
Garcia.
Let's talk about it, dude. Like, Kobe Bufkin is a baller. I thought I was very skeptical when I came into watching this film.
Absolutely, like, dude.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because Michigan hasn't really had a good player in quite a while that was drafted from there. I don't know exactly. Maybe I'm overstating that too, but something about it, I had some bias coming into it. But after a little bit of film study I did, I came away really impressed with a couple of factors with his game. He puts a lot of pressure on the rim. Right, Dave? I mean, like, he...
Yeah, absolutely.
Read it to
dude.
Me.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so
I'm just.
What you got?
I'm blown away by some of his stats right here. His hand size is crazy. All right, let me get back to him because I had to go back up. I was like, what the fuck am I looking at this? Why is it so sexy? Come on, Kobe. Where
well,
you at?
I'm impressed with his... I mean, he's a lefty.
All right, man, keep talking. I was
okay.
I saw his name and I was like, 9.25 hand size, guys. Think about that. His hand is 9.25.
What about his height?
Pinky to.
I'm thinking he's like.
Was that
6'5"?
Thumb? I don't know what they do.
He looks to me to have about a 6'9 wingspan. Maybe 6'10. A little bit in that range. But I'm just pulling shit out of my ass right now. But my point about him is more his feel for the game. Lefty, gets downhill all the time. Scores on three levels, when you look at it, and I get it, like, some people have recently responded to some of my comments saying, like, why am I obsessed with getting a star? And it's not like we're not trying to get a star, but I kind of look at it right now in the draft. We have two lanes, and I think these kind of already existed, but with the new CBA, it kind of enhances how important this is. But you have your Josh Giddey, Chet Holmgren, SGA, J-Dub lane, which is potential max player. Right, if they work out, if they become everything they can be, and then now it's going to be even more. You have a second round pick lane where you have Aaron Wiggins, Jay Will. I'm missing somebody. JRE. Who else played really well from the second round last year for us? I can't remember everybody that we've picked. Okay, and we have depth in the second round. Second round is role players who are stars in their roles. In the first round, lottery picks are players that maybe if they work out at the high end over 5 years, they'll have a chance to be first team All-NBA. Like, if you look at Giddey, Shea did it, Chet, J-Dub, each one of those guys, I think, high end could end up being first team All-NBA. Now, they probably all won't be, But that's when I look at this 12th pick and I'm like, I know it seems like we should just be picking to fill a need. Like old school, Steven Adams filled a need, you know, didn't have all-star potential, but could be a long-term role player. But I don't like using the 12th pick for that. And for me, Kobe Bufkin, when I watch him play, I'm like, that's the type of player you want. He's someone that I think can evolve into an all-star if he hits his high-end ceiling. It's going to take a lot of work, but to me, his length is actually... Yeah, go ahead.
Let's just talk about that.
Okay.
9.25 hand. He's 6 foot 4.5 inches, right? He's got a 6 foot standing. 8 wingspan. He's got 8 foot 6.
And he's athletic.
Standing reach. That's 8'6" standing reach. That's pretty cool. I mean, he's athletic. He got incredibly quick hands. Like the things that Kobe can bring to the table is something that's pretty unique. And yes, we're talking about another guard, right, in this position. And there's another Kobe out there called Kobe Brown that's more of a power forward that people are in love with as well. But to me, Kobe Bufkin is one of those players that, you know, since February 1st to the end of the season, he was the most improved player in college basketball. I mean, think about that. He went from doing, I would consider okay, to all of a sudden averaging 17 points a game, an insane amount of assists, and he's finishing at a high level. One thing that I talked about with Mark was his fluidity of the game. Like, it's smooth. Like, there's nothing that's forced. It looks forced. He's the full package when it comes to a guard that attacks the hole and is able to do other things. I look at him, and there's a lot of players that I like to think about with him, but the fact is that he came on late in the season. It makes it really difficult to know where he's going to fall, but I wouldn't be surprised if he jumps up in the lottery at all, because he's one of those players that he demands respect, and anybody that's going to have him come to their workouts and have him work out, they're all going to see the same thing that I saw when I've been scouting him out and playing games and different things like that. His mentality of the game, his passion for the game, his motor, his knowledge, his IQ, it's all things that you want in your organization, especially with a lottery round pick. It's something that you have to look at and say,
I think
this young man could be something low much end, bigger than what he is right now.
He could end up being a really good star, a role player. But high end, he could end up really exceeding people's expectations. And like, do you have a stats in front of you? And that's fine if you don't, from his sophomore year, 3-point shooting particularly, but 2-point shooting is interesting to me too. But
give me 2 seconds to pull him up.
I think he's the type of player that stretches defenses by kind of doing a lot of what Shea did his rookie year, which is knocking down the shot when it's available, also making the right play when it's early in the shot clock and keeping the ball moving. He understands he's like a point guard, but he understands how to play off the ball too, it seems like.
Sure. What do I say? What is my main key with this Oklahoma City Thunder team that I say all the time to you? What is king?
Yeah.
Efficiency. Efficiency is fucking king, bro. Especially in modern NBA. He is one of the most efficient guys I've seen out there, period. I mean, like, when it comes to shove, like, the things that he can do, he shoots 35.5% from free throw. He shoots 84.9% from on the free throw line.
All right.
He shoots 48% from field goal range, guys. Like, he is a pop, and he can play off the pick and roll. He can pop and shoot. He can set and shoot. He can drive to the hole. He has some spectacular dunks out there. He's got a great vertical inch leap. Again, the reason he's so far on this draft board is because he didn't start playing better until February 1st. That was like the moment that he started figuring it out. So for me, I look at him and saying, again, you're going for a player like this, you have to have time with it. You're going to have to give him time to grow and mature, because he still doesn't really know what his body can
do.
He's still learning what he can do right now.
Have a limited level of athletic ability. They're not usually the tallest. And then they have a lot of trouble transitioning their game into the NBA. And then you have a player like James Harden, who has all those problems, but he understands how to play at his own pace, and he knows how to create for himself. I think Kobe's more likely to end up like a James Harden in his ability to go to the places he wants to go and get the shots he wants to get to. Obviously, situation is really important, but you know, is there a chance that we look back and we say, yeah, we way overrated this guy. He doesn't have the ability to create his own shot. He can't defend his position. And he's not that much great of a creator for other players. And he's out of the league in 5 years. Yeah, like totally. It could happen.
But that's what these mid-lottery picks are for sometimes. Is like, it's a dice roll. Is he going to turn into a Giannis? Not a Giannis, obviously. I'm saying, but is this player going to turn into a, you know, a blank player? I mean, I say Giannis. I think of Kawhi. I think of Shea. And these guys are great examples of young men that people didn't think they were going to be able to put it together. And that's why they dropped to that 12th spot. And I'm okay with a player like that, and especially J-Dub. You know, I'm okay with a player like that. I'm okay with looking there and being like, yeah, I could see where those guys went saying that he wasn't going to be able to be there and be that good. But I look at Bufkin and I say, you know, this is another young man that has a legit opportunity to be a really good player for a very long time in the NBA. If he gets to the right team that's willing to develop him and take their time with the development. And we've seen it happen with Poku. And I'm telling you guys, Poku's going to have a breakout season this next year. Everybody's going to be like, holy shit, who's this Poku guy? And it's going to be because we took our time developing. We didn't rush him into the games. We didn't do anything else like that. We put him in the right circumstances. And that's going to pay off in the long run for a lot of these guys. And I think if we were to go after Kobe Bufkin, again, we're only looking at it in the Oklahoma City Thunder eyes of why Kobe Bufkin would be good for us. If we did go after Kobe Bufkin, it would show us that the idea of getting as many guards as possible that have these key qualities, which are attacking the hole, you know, it's being able to play without the ball, it's playing defense, it's understanding where you're supposed to be at all times, high IQ. It's going to be quite obvious where the Oklahoma City Thunder are going. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, we need a center, we need a big person, we need a shooter. Listen, I agree to all of that. But the reality is that I would rather the Oklahoma City Thunder pick the best player, according to Sam Presti and Vince, than say this is our biggest need. Because we've seen what happens when the Oklahoma City Thunder go after picks that are our biggest need.
And
not necessarily player at that position.
Honestly, emotionally, when we picked him, we didn't necessarily think we had room for another star on our team. We had Shea, we had Giddy, we had Chet, and we're like, yeah, J-Dub could be a nice piece. But then all of a sudden, something happens when if you know how to get your own basket and the team is looking for something to happen and you're out there and you're giving it for the team, then all of a sudden your team starts to count on you. And you have to wonder, like, right now we see Trey Mann out there. We see plenty of other players who I could see somebody else stepping in, outplaying that, and coach being like, look, I'm sorry, but this other guy has just demanded the minutes. And it could be Trey Mann who demands the minutes. But
yeah, you're right. I look at Kobe Bufkin as we're going to go after Kobe Bufkin if our time with Trey Mann
but it could be a
is
great
coming to
year
a conclusion.
For Trey Mann,
and that's
to
nothing against
Trey Mann
to
earn a contract
it's nothing
somewhere
against
else and
anybody
for Kobe
else
to
like
compete
that
and end up taking the spot.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what this team is all about. You have to be able to sit there and say, does this player deserve to be here? Does this player deserve to be here? And I look at Trey Mann and I say, I want Trey Mann to have a great year. But there is no guarantee that Trey Mann's going to get that playing time that he needs because they're so backloaded. And if that's the case, then is it going to be best for Trey Mann for another situation? And if that's the case, then a player like Kobe Bufkin that's coming in to replace Trey Mann for the future is the best idea.
Shows the difference between drafting at, what, like 18 or whatever he was picked in that range versus 12. Like, it's a huge difference. And I would rather see what Sam Presti did last draft happen again than pretty much anything else, which is group any picks that aren't going to be top 12 and move to 11. Like, do that type of shit again. Do that over and over again. Let's keep seeing us land a player outside of the top 10, but before the top 15. Why?
You know why 11 is so sexy, bro?
Such great value.
It's one of the cheapest picks imaginable in the lottery. but such great fucking value, because most teams that are 11 or 10 are sitting there being like, we missed out the top players that we want. Well, we're willing to trade this for pennies on the dollar. And you watch the Knicks trade that pick for pennies on the dollar. And everybody's like, oh, we traded three picks. No, one of those picks will end up being like a 20th pick. The rest of them will be second rounders. So we traded one pick, first round pick, and two second round picks
for the 11th pick last 10 years. And it's mid to late lottery pick players have won more MVPs than top five pick players. In the last 10 years, the late lottery players have outperformed the top five picks 6-4 in MVP candidacy. And I believe him, although I'm just going off of my memory, but it just seems like it matches when you take players like Jokic and Giannis, and it doesn't, you know, pretty much at that point, you don't really need much more to tip things over. But it's really impressive because there's value to be had. And if you can become experts at picking in that range, we talk about it all the time. We give a lot of credit to Vince Rosman for bringing in Isaiah Joe, but we really haven't seen Vince Rosman with this team when we were going through picks, because he didn't join the team until later. So who knows?
Exactly, man. You're right. And that's, I think, what's the beautiful thing about that, man, is that, like, we don't know what Vince is going to be able to do to help with this pick. And that's why, no matter how many, when I start breaking down these players, last year, you and I had a pretty good idea of where the Thunder were going with their picks, right? But this year, because of Vince, I'm starting to take a step back, because, like, let's just be honest. I mean, Vince is responsible for a ton of amazing lottery picks, a ton of them, like mid lottery picks. And because of that, I gotta say, like, I don't know where the value is going to be seen, because I haven't seen who's going to be drafting. I haven't witnessed before what Vince and Sam are looking for. And what Vince and the 76ers and Morey were looking for is completely different. Daryl, whatever his name is. Morey.
Mwani, he's saying Kobe's got a great basketball IQ. And I think that's a great place to start, too. Keep going.
Anyways, but I agree with that, man. But I agree with Mwani here. Is every time I watch Bufkin, every time I watch him understand the isolation that he has and what he can do with that isolation, it's never the same thing. You see that he gets the ball, right? And then he processes how the defender is playing him on defense. And it's very, like, a matter of a millisecond. And then he's around him, or he's above it, or he's shooting. I mean, he understands and he processes things so quickly he's NBA ready already for those things. And that's one thing I love about Bufkin, and that, you know, Mwani obviously just threw out there, but he's an elite thinker. He's an elite in the class of his own when it comes to understanding the game and how quickly his movements happen. And Kobe. This is the reason why. Is because we could get Kobe if we traded back and picked up a second,
keep that out another of just first round pick, player for player,
For the future.
No trade up. Just if you
Kaysen,
had to pick one player,
Kaysen,
up.
We're gonna have to trade up.
Yeah, who's gonna have the better
trade
career?
Up to get Kaysen? Okay, so if Kaysen and Bufkin are on the table, every part of me wants to say Kentucky guard has the best, you know, chance to understand the game. But to me, Kobe Bufkin has that elite it. And I haven't seen that when especially comes to IQ and his reaction time and the way he's able to process when a big man's coming and switching his shot. Like, his efficiency at such a high level, I don't think there's been a guard in the last 5 years that is going to be more efficient than what Kobe Bufkin can do. And how much can you value efficiency, you know, in this modern game? I think it's something you have to value, you know, as a top. So I'm sorry, man. I know people are going to get pissed and be like, you're so fucking stupid. You pick Kaysen over, or you pick out Bufkin over Kaysen Wallace. But guess what, guys?
Which one?
Kaysen Wallace, you have
said
to
Kaysen,
go for it.
But you mean
have to roll the dice because his ceiling is so much more spectacular than Kaysen. I'm saying I would 100% pick Kobe Bufkin over Kaysen Wallace because I feel that Kobe Bufkin's ceiling is way higher than Kaysen Wallace's. And listen, again, I understand this is not going to sit well with people, But watch, go look at Kobe Bufkin's stats from the February 2nd, he had a game. Go look at his stats from that point on. You'll see this different player than he was in the first half of the season. And that's the type of player that I'm watching that we've seen so many times before. We watched it with Usman Jang, who went out there and did all right the first half and then came back and stomped the second half in the NBL. Mm-hmm. I think he might have been injured too, but he came back and he stomped the NBL. Like, people are like, whoa, this guy can play. I look at Kobe Bufkin the same exact way. Like, he got healthy, he got in shape, or whatever the case was, and February 2nd came along and he was ready to ball. And that type of player right there that I saw with Michigan is something that it's an elite player. You're not going to find those guys on the draft board in the future at number 12. You're just not. In the future, he's going to be gone as number 7. He's just a really good player, bro. And I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of Cason Wallace fans out there, and I know that I'm pissing you guys off, but go watch Kobe Bufkin's best games. All right, then go watch Cason Wallace's best games. All right, then if you take that from there and then you go and look at some of the scouting reports that you have out there at Bufkin, okay, and it's one of the things that I know you guys all hear me say, efficiency is king in this new basketball CBA. And somebody like Kobe Bufkin, who's incredibly efficient, that doesn't take stupid shots, that his IQ is off the charts, that fits perfectly in this side of this team, so he doesn't have to go and force anything. He can just go with the flow of things. I think that's the type of player you want.
I think Cason Wallace is a probably a safer bet in the fact that he's going to be able to come in and be like a Drew Holiday, immediately defend his position and play. But at the same time, I feel like if Kobe Bufkin figures it out,
sure,
he could be an all-star. And Cason might be able to be an all-star, but I feel like could be all-NBA.
He could be.
Yeah.
Kobe Bufkin on the right team, if he maximizes potential, he'll be all-NBA.
I feel crazy thinking about it because when you look at the stats, you know, like 6'8 wingspan, 6'4.5 height, like it's going to take being elite. At every
decent jumper
of the game at that height. If you're 7 foot, maybe you don't have to be elite 3-point shooter, but at his height, you have to be an elite 3-point shooter. You have to be elite rim finisher. You have to be elite in the mid range.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I look at his game. And when you look at the efficiency level and you look at how efficient he is, that's the one thing that he's going to be able to do. He's going to find his spots. He's going to get there. He's incredibly crafty when it comes to dribbling. He's not like a chump. He's not like he's all of a sudden sitting on the wing and he can't do anything, right? He's a playmaker. So it's not by himself, he's going to be fine on the wing and isolated. Especially in the offense, if he's on the team, in the offense of the flow, he's going to get the right matchups and he's going to be able to explode off of those matchups. And I think that's one of the reasons that I struggle with some of these players that I'm scouting is that the IQ isn't there. You know, and it's like, well, if the IQ isn't there, then how are they going to be able to understand what Josh Giddey's doing when he's looking like that with his eyes? And it's just like a quick flash of the eyes. How are you going to know what to do? Bufkin won't miss that shit. You know, and that's the thing about it is that, like, how much do you value something like that versus somebody that's going to go out there and be a complete defensive stopper and hit down threes? Like, and that's, again, where Vince comes in. I don't know. You know, I'm excited. Because I want to know what he values and Sam Presti together value more than the other. And after breaking down, what, like 15 players now, 12 players?
I think when you think about a pretty good idea of year, the ability you know, what to we're be looking a high at. IQ player is so important because with a team like this team, especially, you're going to be attacking a lot of closeouts. People are going to be hitting you with rotations. You're the last person on their radar. So if you can knock down shots, then force them to guard you. And then you have to improve from there, but that's the first step. That's the Lou Dort challenge. That's the, you know, can you play in space? Do that, and then they'll figure out how to give you a different challenge. So it's a great,
yeah,
you know, ability. I think, I love it, man. I think there's a huge possibility for his long-term future, and I think it's a little bit, it's completely off of field because there's other players that we've looked at that have better. They're bigger, bigger wingspan, more athletic, but Kobe just feels great.
You know, I think one of the greatest porn stars in, as far as male porn stars, said that he was a grower, not a shower. I think a lot of those, you know, context in the modern NBA is that, like, it's good if you have size, but it's not needed necessarily anymore because of the way that the offense's flow of the game is going. Like, you could be smaller and have a, you know, a very big dick next to you, and you're like, holy shit, like, I have no chance at scoring with this chick, but the chick walks up and says, I'd rather have a smaller dick because a smaller dick knows what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the context of today's modern game, is that you have to know what you're doing. You have to be able to be in control of that dick. And if you can't, then you're just out there with a fucking 12-inch cock and flaring around everywhere and saying, look at me, everybody, look at me. And nobody wants to look at a 12-inch cock.
What's up, George?
I don't want to look at a 12-inch cock.
Thanks for joining us. Bryce Sensenbach. We should talk about him, Moani.
George!
I've done a little bit of research on him, and we have him on the list coming up. We're working our way there. June starts tomorrow. The draft is in, 3 weeks? So we've got time, and we'll keep breaking down the players. And it's been a lot of fun to analyze and get Dave's comparisons. That's been fun. It's
size
about the way you attack the rim.
Doesn't matter. I'm telling you guys, I'm waiting for the first guy on ESPN to say that during the draft. Because there's a lot of guys that are shorter, and they're going to be like, well, size isn't always the factoring thing in this.
What, like, elite measurable did Russ have? Right, that's not a measurable, right? That's the thing. It's not like he had the highest athletic jump or the widest wingspan, or he was the tallest. You know what I mean? In the end, if you're looking at what Presti saw in him, it was, like you always mentioned, defense, but it was also like he just attacked the rim relentlessly. And I think that's what we got to look for, is the players that can do that and also play in space, like you're saying. Because if you can do both of those things, you come in and there's going to be opportunities for you to help. You help early enough. Next thing you know, you're being asked to do a bigger responsibility. So, George, you bring up a good point here. Go ahead, Dave. What's up? Sorry.
Yep. Man.
Bob Myers.
I was about to say what George bringing up is fun, dude, because Mark and I constantly talked about this. We said if Bob Myers leaves,
Corey,
it's the first domino of them tearing it down and starting anew. So I think that
the first
domino
step
has officially started.
Organization now? By the way, I think
Bob
Myers is copying out.
Leaving
doesn't
the team.
Want to stick around for a rebuild. But
what is the Draymond? Least valuable assets of the three?
Draymond.
The top three guys you got. You got Steph.
You think
Clay,
bro?
No. Draymond's not the least. Draymond's almost not tradable,
why?
Bro. Clay. Draymond is not tradable. No one's going to trade a first-round pick for Draymond unless they're really trying to revamp their entire organization, their mindset. And I just don't see that happening. So I would say Klay Thompson is the first guy up. Second guy up would be first guy up, Klay Thompson to trade. Second guy that I think would be something like a combination of Steph and Draymond. You know, I think that would be more of a combination of people going to a different team. But I mean, don't mistake me here, guys. I do 100% believe that at least one of the Golden State Warriors players, at least one of them, will be playing in Houston next year. All right, guys. So Houston has tradable assets. They've got draft picks. They've got James Harden already talking about coming back. It's a sexy thing for James Harden, man. If you're looking at it saying, hey, I can get Clay to play with me next year.
Okay. I don't think that Clay's going to want to do that.
No, I think Clay has a very small list of players and teams that he would want to go to.
Do you think he has a list?
dude, every player has a list of where you want to go. You know where Clay wants to go?
Where?
The Knicks, baby.
Really?
Think about it, man. What do they need?
What am I thinking about?
Think about if Clay goes over there and plays with the Knicks all of a sudden have their shooter, have their old, you know, big time scorer. They have everything they need right away next to Brunson. You know, like he's a perfect situation right there. And as far as everybody like, Knicks, right? Yeah, I get it. But the Knicks have tradable assets. They've got draft picks, thank you to the Thunder. And they can go out and get somebody like Clay, because it would be pretty cheap and pretty easy, because a team like the Warriors might be fucking desperate enough to trade Clay for a couple draft picks and one asset.
So you think Bob Myers is out?
Oh, he's done.
And you think this is the sign? I mean, he's done, but you this think it's the sign. Because it's the rebuild is taking place.
I think Bob, would you want to be associated with a shit team for a while?
I know, but I don't think it's automatically shit, bro. I think, honestly, there's so much... It would be
they
really...
have to get... below $134 million.
Okay, but get rid of the shitty players.
So how are you going to get rid of Poole?
Charlotte.
Do you seriously think that they would be willing to pay him that massive contract that they just signed? I don't think they can.
Charlotte paid.
And then I don't think
Rozier like
if anybody Andrew
dollars.
Wiggins, you might be able to trade a pick with Andrew Wiggins for a team to take him.
Yeah, why not?
But the thing is that like you would have to trade two picks for a team to take Jordan Poole.
So what? Do it.
Okay, so then you take away all those young assets and you keep Steph, Clay,
yeah.
and Draymond. Yeah. And then in 2 years, you're what? Injured?
Okay, but...
shit's going bad? No draft picks?
So what? You're still selling tickets. It's a freak show at the end of their rope,
love it.
Bro. But in the
love
end,
it,
the circus must go on. Like,
dude, I want to see Steph play in with the Pelicans. I want to see Steph play with the Pelicans. You know why? Because I fucking hate Steph, bro.
Oh.
Yeah, dude. And playing in the Pelicans is like would be like almost as bad as going to Charlotte for the end of your career. And everybody knows that you know Steph Curry's dad knows how that feels. I mean, we can all hear him on the radio or on TV whenever he's calling the Charlotte games. He sounds drunk as all get out,
he's
bro.
He's always drunk.
Always drunk. Always trash. So for me, I'm looking at it like, you know he doesn't want to go to Charlotte. So if he's thinking about it, like, oh. But how about that, dude? If Charlotte were to trade the second pick in the draft this year for somebody like Steph. Like, that'd be crazy shit, bro.
I mean, I think it would take a player like Steph to give up that pick.
I mean, what about
like
a fourth pick? Like, would Steph go and play with Damian Lillard?
If I was Steph, I wouldn't. Like, who's going to guard?
Stay close to home.
Somebody's got to guard somebody.
Yeah. You don't have Draymond.
Don't have.
You can't
anybody.
Just like throw him at
Clay's
anybody.
Clay's a good defender too. Like, yeah. I mean, I think if I were the Warriors, I would.
Steph
get rid of
and Green
all the,
for Zion.
All
love
the
it.
Stupid money, right? And then get really active in the free agent market. And I know there's limitations you can use now because of the new CBA, but if you get rid of all the stupid money, it might free you up to do some things.
Well, I did the math on this, all right? So let's just say Steph and Clay and Draymond, they all make like $110 million, I think, those three. Maybe a little bit less, a little bit more. But the point is that you got to get under $134 million, bro. If you got $110 million on the books already with three guys, like $24 million
look,
isn't really
this is
going to go that far.
The stupidity of Bob Myers, and this is why like he can get all the praise for what he supposedly constructed, but if
the new CBA fucked him, and he knows it. That's why he stepped
remember,
down.
If you remember, he did not want to draft Klay Thompson. Jerry West went to the ownership and said, if you guys don't draft Klay Thompson, I'm leaving. And they stepped in over Bob Myers' head and drafted Klay Thompson. Steph Curry was already on the team when Bob Myers showed up. Okay, he did bring in Steve Kerr, we'll give him some credit there, but he also drafted James Wiseman. He gave a contract to Jordan Poole that was ridiculous, and Andrew Wiggins, which is obscene. And everybody in the NBA knew, don't get caught up with Andrew Wiggins. Like, you got the best out of him. He had years of inconsistency with the Timberwolves, and he was in a contract year. He played his best basketball, and they went out and gave him ridiculous money. Like, it's a mess.
Yeah.
And the fact is, to clean up the mess, they might have to get rid of one of their three core pieces.
They need to
get... That's how big of a mess that Bob Myers created.
They can keep one of their big pieces.
And that's fucked up.
That's it. I mean, if you think about it, like, how else... Think about this.
That's so fucked up.
If you have...
This reminds me of the end of the Bulls era when they didn't want to keep Phil Jackson.
$60 million between Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. $60 million. I mean, think about that. That's almost half of your salary right there. Half of your salary is already fucked. And there's no way... And I understand what you're saying. Like, somebody would want Wiggins on the right team because he's a decent player. Mm-hmm. You know, good role player. But for $30 million, it makes you stop and think. But Jordan Poole, man, like, you would have to be a desperate motherfucking team to pick up Jordan Poole. And that's what I'm saying is, like, $30 million
that need to fill out a little bit of team that are tanking.
But $30 million, are you going to put your team on notice like that for $30 million for the next 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is? It's 31, 34, 37, like 42 at the end or something like that.
Bob Myers,
like, saddles
the team with a giant turd and walks off into the sunset.
I don't get it. Like, I would listen. A player like Wiggins would help our team out tremendously.
I knew that the Warriors were fucked up as soon as Jerry West left. It was like he was always the adult in the room.
I just can't get it, man. If I was Jerry West, I would be like, after the last championship that we won, tear it down. I've been like, listen, these guys are getting old. You know, they're not going to be able to make the playoffs. They're at a all-time high level of value. Let's get rid of Steph. Let's get rid of this person. Let's let Jordan Poole walk. You know, let's let everything else just go. That's what I would have done if I was, you know, in this situation. But you know what happened? Is instead of doing that, they doubled fucking down.
You see it happen.
And now they just destroyed their organization for the next 10 years.
Every dynasty has a lot of trouble figuring out how to compensate people. And certain teams have the ability, like, to understand the critical players that you need to compensate, and the players who are demanding higher contracts and getting overpaid in the open market because of the championships that your team helped them win. And
we've seen it happen, man.
We've
seen it happen so many times where teams like, oh yeah, we have to overextend because we got to keep this team together. And it's like,
well, then you look at the Spurs and you're like, okay, they had really three key players that were there for the later part of most of the championships, right? It was obviously Robinson and Duncan, but then it was Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili. And then it was a rotating group of people who were next to them. Like, this isn't right. Fucking rocket science, man. And you get paid tens of millions of dollars a year to be the architect and take care of these franchises, and then you get to walk off. It's
the vision. It's the vision I see Sam Presti that makes me so excited.
When Jack Welch left GE, they gave him huge bonuses, like tens of millions, hundreds of millions in bonuses. But then they found out later on that he was fucking them. So you know what they did? They asked for the bonuses back. That's what I feel like they should do with Bob Myers. When they realize how fucked they are, they should be like, Bob, why don't we take some of the pay out of your pay that we gave you? Because we gave you like $100 million and you fucked us.
Yeah,
I mean, if I give somebody $100 million,
I see.
I don't hope they don't fuck me.
I see. At least they use lube, right?
I mean, unless I'm paying them to fuck me.
I look at the way that teams are constructed in the NBA, and there's so many of the teams that I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what in your right mind thought these two would mix, or these players would mix like that? Like, you can't. And then I look at Sam Presti, and this is my envision of Sam Presti, all right? He's standing at the edge of the court. On a corner of the court, at the edge of the court, folded arms like this, watching the players' interaction. Just watching. You know why? It's because players get along. Players have relationships. Whoa, what do you mean? Players want to hang out with each other after practice and stuff like that? Yes, absolutely. You get the right squad of guys together, and that team becomes a unit.
It's up eclipse.
And if you do not get the right squad together, mm-hmm. you are fucked all across the board. And if you look at Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. Like, you should have known these guys weren't going to get along. You guys should have traded Jordan Poole before it ever got that situation. Like, I do not get it. I don't. And I'm sitting here saying, I love the vision of Sam Presti just watching the players interaction with each other, finding out which ones get along and which ones don't. You have a player in there that's like Sam Presti's favorite player, and he comes in there and he's like, blah, 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 yelling at people, getting all in people's faces. And Sam Presti's like, this was my favorite player, but I don't like how he interacts with everybody. So I'm not going to draft him because I know he's going to be a problem on this team. See, that takes foresight. That takes knowledge. It takes understanding of how to put an organization together. And that's what I love about Sam Presti, because he's thinking about it in six different areas. Yes, this player is the best player on the board. No, his attitude sucks balls. I don't want him on around the team. This player is going to end up having some weapon issues. This player is going to end up having, you know, issues with this and issues with that. Like, he is so centered on making sure that he gets the right mentality and attitude on this team. It's, yes, we've seen it happen. Like, skill is needed. But Sam Presti's more interested in drafting the human being than he is a skill.
The last episode that I watched of The Path, one of the last ones, the series done by Royce on the Thunder YouTube channel, where they just kind of break down some cool elements of the game, but they're talking about a story that it was a clip of Sam Presti talking, I think.
So, clips?
Where he was saying, like, the day that they traded Russ, like, he heard someone in the gym. And it was like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and he goes and he sees that it's Shea. Shea's just, like, working out, putting in work. I think something that can get lost in that is the fact that, like, Sam Presti was at the facility, and he heard somebody in the gym, and he went to see what was going on. Like, Bob Myers would not have fucking been in the gym. Bob Myers would have been on a yacht somewhere. And it's really hard to tell what's happening if you're not there. And watching players turn into leaders through leading through example, and then watching the team follow that good example is... it can seem like magic, but it can also like be like, just trust your intuition. You've been around it enough. You've seen it, and you can see who's having a positive impact. You can see who's leading people to make more mature decisions. And you can see the players who are beyond their years and their ability to lead people. I heard him talking about Kevin Durant, and he said Kevin Durant at, well, I think 19 years old, understood things about development that 50-year-olds don't understand. The ability to the process for improvement and systematic, you know, continual improvement. And these are things that you can start to recognize in people. You know, this isn't about basketball. Really, this is about people. And people, like you're saying, getting along. People becoming friends. People kicking it together and building their lives around each other. And then there's types of relationships that when basketball is over, they'll continue. And there's something special when you can put that together. So I look forward to not just having another round of, you know, young players become, you know, global icons that are close to each other, but hopefully we don't have to, you know, endure watching a few of those young players end up getting traded and watching the hard feelings that come with that. Like,
that's inevitable, bro. We've got so many young players that they will take time to develop, and if that's with us, that's with us. Hopefully, yeah. It's with us. But other players will get better and start on other teams. Through it's inevitable.
Yes, I'm with you, but I'm talking about those young cores. Like, when you're talking the young
Thunder, oh yeah, you're talking about our sixth core. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm saying, like, we found ourselves in a spot because we didn't have assets where we were trading Jeff Green and James Harden.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like, That still hurts to think about. And I hope, like, as we fall in love with these players, like, a lot of people have a little bit of, like, fear that that will kind of repeat. Mm. We'll find ourselves in a spot where, like, oh, shit. So it makes you afraid to fall in love with people. Like,
yeah.
And then you're like, well, they're just going to leave me anyway. And then you're like, well, I've got some issues I need to work out with a therapist. You know what I mean?
Yep. You're right, man.
I'm afraid of getting hurt again.
Damn, dude. Well... Appreciate you guys sticking around with us and with our randomness that we bring up. But we love you guys, and we'll be back tomorrow.
We'll see you then.